mean, even when I can't really tell you, you know, why he plays this at this point in the music, or, you know, just, it's sort of an automatic.
All right, man. Yeah. Live from my mouth to your ears. It's another episode of Guessing from the Stand. Shit boy, Earl 91.
It's the broski Nardo in the building, man.
The one and only Big Mike in this thing. What's happening?
Your boy Jeff in the building. Let's get it.
It's a Dominican Dundada, Christian, mi gente, que lo que estoy aquí comiendo un vitecito
con papita y broccoli.
Damn, nah, you can let the nigga finish, bro.
I ain't even get it queued up, man.
He's supposed to slide as he's finishing his intro.
It's the Dominican Dundada, Christian, mi gente, que lo que estamos aquí, estamos activos, estamos aquí comiendo de todo, tú sabes. You know the fucking vibes.
Hey. Where's my motherfucking silk shirt? Meet me in Mango on South Beach, baby.
Pull your yak. Light your cigar to this one.
Oh, no. I'm drinking some Mata right now, you feel me?
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
You know this nigga is dancing off some ugly shit right now. About
to trip over.
You know the vibe. You know the
that
vibe.
Nigga E, yes sir.
Let's go, baby. Welcome back.
I never forget when you was dancing on that chair. You was drunk as shit at your wedding, bro. That shit was so wild. Bro, your wedding was live as shit.
You know what's wild, bro?
Hey, Mike.
Yo.
You get the alert?
You don't remember that shit?
No, I'll never remember.
Which one?
That's funny as shit.
Yeah, which one, nigga?
I ain't get no alert, fam.
Damn. Take your bleacher, bro. Lou Dort game winner. Yes, sir. We here, baby. Oh,
hey.
Yes,
sir. Who?
Lou Dort. Yes, sir. Game winner. Buzzer beater.
I just got it.
No.
Oh, let me see. A corner three.
What? Ooh, three for the game.
Hey, man, Luca had one last night.
He did, man. Hey, let's talk about that, bro.
Hey, hold on. Let's get straight to the lead. Hey, hold on. Hey, before we get into all that, man, hey, since y'all were playing that Spanish music, man, let me say, man, free Lady El Chapo, bro.
Yeah, dog, they locked her out of VA, man.
Yeah, man, free her, bro. I don't know, no smoke, so I want her free and living a beautiful life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Not me. Lock her ass up.
This nigga about to get us all killed.
I just want to say that was Clint Proctor. That was Clint.
Yeah, that was definitely Clint.
That was Clint Proctor.
Hey, go ahead.
That was Clint Proctor. Shoot, man, y'all, we have done a disservice to the listeners. We dropped the ball, and I'm gonna take responsibility for that. So,
I already know what you better say.
Rapid fire. Give me.
We fucked over Black History Month.
We surely did.
God damn it.
So, give me two figures from Black that you want to honor for Black History Month.
Damn, you just gonna on the. Jeez.
Are you not black every day?
One man, let me. One man, one woman.
Hold on, man. Put on this a legend. This I'm Black by Styles P while we get it in, man. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, brother.
I'll start, man, since y'all having a hard time with it. I'm going to start with a woman. I'm going to start with none other than my founder, man, Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Earl, that's cool and all, but turn that shit off.
Right. He trying to get this whole part cut off of Apple.
Nah, it won't. You can stream music. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, we got to put a disclaimer. I do not own the rights to this music. But no, man, I'm going to start off again, man, with Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune, man. A pioneer in education. You know what I'm saying? She has what's now known as Bethune-Cookman University. Started the school with $1.50, a hope and a dream. One of the first women, well, the first Black woman who actually had a position in the cabinet with the president. She was the best friend of Eleanor Roosevelt. had a room in her house for Eleanor Roosevelt and her husband Teddy, you know, when they did come over down to Daytona Beach and visited or whatnot. So Mary McLeod Bethune, salute to her, man.
Hey Mike, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they buy a crib in Daytona eventually?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. I knew it was because I think the Rockefellers lived in Daytona too at one
point. Yeah, the Rockefellers did.
That's a bunch of famous niggas that lived there. Me too. Shit, we all from there.
I don't know if I'd say famous N words during the Black History segment, but let's continue.
Listen,
I'm kidding, bro. I'm kidding, man. Come on, go ahead, Mike.
My second person, man, it's gonna be none other than Brother Fred Hampton of the Black Panther Party. Hey, I just watched Judas and the Black Messiah, bro.
How good was it? I've been hearing amazing things about it, and I can't wait to watch that.
Before y'all go into it, can I ask y'all a quick question? Mm-hmm. When they make movies like that, like biopics, do you guys kind of see it with like an open mind? Like, you know, when they make movies, they're going based off of like what they told, like what's told to them and everything, compared to like people living through that. You feel me? Am I making sense?
Yeah.
But this movie was definitely made with people who actually lived it. You know what I'm saying? Because his fiance, the bearer of his child, mm-hmm. got killed. She's still alive, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it was a good movie. Like, it was 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it was a great movie, but, man. But me personally, I didn't know anything about Fred Hampton.
I didn't either.
I knew that the Black Panther Party was founded by Thurgood Marshall. But that's about all I knew about it. And Fred Hampton, man, 21 years old when he was assassinated, man. Just was doing great work out and not just Chicago, but around the country, man. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can agree to disagree with some things. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a big fan of the whole kill a cop thing, but at the same token, you know, the cops taking lives and they trying to stop the cops from taking lives. So, I mean, the way they went about it was, you know what I'm saying? People would have their differences with it, but Fred Hampton was definitely a man of the people. So I'm glad that we were able to get a movie that actually showed his, you know what I'm saying, his heroic efforts. And for a person like me, who's, I would like to say, is pretty knowledgeable on Black history, that's something that I didn't know about. So I'm definitely appreciative of what he did.
All right. Shoot, Nar, go next.
Yeah, come back to me.
All right, cool. Christian, go next.
Rapid fire.
For women, actually, you know who I'm going to go with? For the women, I'm going to do Michelle Obama. And the reason I say Michelle is because, in my opinion, I feel like when Barack had stepped into office with her, she was like the first lady that was kind of more engaging with the public and people. But she always, mm-hmm. she did it with such grace and style. And she also understood like minorities that came from the hood and people that also came from middle class and upper class families, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was good to see that, because you know sometimes you get the first ladies and everything or the first people that they talk about the lower class, but they it's kind of like bullshit. You can read the bullshit, and then but for her to understand both the lower class and the middle and upper class as well. and the way she would understand, listen to everybody. That's definitely my Black History Month for the woman's side. And for the men, what's up? What up?
And I didn't experience this personally because by the time that Barack made office, I was already in college. Mm-hmm. But one thing that she did that always stood out to me was getting healthy food options in public school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like just you know, because that was a real thing that was going
Jeff.
On.
Jeff, old apple eating ass.
but no, nah, that's me, I wasn't in grade school when that was happening. So at that point, you know, I didn't experience it. But I mean, just seeing the palette of food change for kids in school, that was something that she was really behind. And yeah, I always, you know, admired that about her. But who was your who was your gentleman for Black History Month?
For my gentleman, this is tough and. It's probably going to sound cliche, but to be honest with you, it's actually not. Hold up. Let me think. When it comes to gentlemen, now I know it's going to sound cliche, but I think Jay-Z.
Okay.
And the reason I say it is because seeing him basically come up from the bottom all the way to where he's at today, literally like us as hip hop fans, we got to witness firsthand like the growth and elevation of himself, you know, and then throughout time, especially with being active on police reform and, you know, figures that were like in jail, helping towards that, starting Tidal for music streaming services as well. And, you know, working with like just making change. And I feel like people always, they're always going to talk about, oh, is Jay-Z, he's a billionaire, whatever. Like they see like the public picture, but they don't see like the bigger picture that he does, you know?
Yeah, nah, for sure.
Facts, that's a good one.
It is. Jeff, you wanna go?
Sure. Start off with the ladies. I got Madam CJ, you know, a pioneer for Black women and how we've pretty much, you know, revolutionized and just been such a pioneer in the hair industry. And when everything was leading towards, you know, chemicals and everything, we're the one that brought all the natural oils with, you know, coconut, castor and everything, and just implemented something that, you know, that's running wild now. So, and you know how everybody tries to run through the natural phase, but that's all, you know, black made, black grown. So shout out to her for the first, you know, female black millionaire, you know, to start that trend and, you know, project our women into success. For my male, it's Louis Latimer, which a lot of people, you know, don't talk about him enough. He's the guy who created that piece in the light bulb, I forgot what it's called again, the filament, carbon filament in the light bulb that helps the light bulb, which is the sole reason the light bulb lights up. And, you know, Edison created the rest and molded the invention that he started and patented. So everything is always talked about Thomas Edison, but never talks about the person that created the key component to make that light bulb to begin with. So always whenever you get a chance, we always got to make sure we talk about Lewis and how his invention, you know, is literally how we live in our lives. That light bulb gets used for everything, from cars to your house to everything. So big shout out to Louis Latimer and Madam CJ Walker.
No, that's fire. All right, I'll go. I mean, I know Nar was wanted us to come back to him, so I'll go. For the ladies, I am going to go with I want to do something that's unconventional. You know what? I'm gonna go with the young lady who
Thank you. That's what I was going for. Go ahead.
I'm gonna go with the young lady who's still with us, and I'm sure you you were probably thinking this. I'm gonna go with Miss Ruby Bridges.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're going there. Okay.
You know, I don't think that Ruby really knew what she did, and what she, you know, just the ramifications of what it would do. But I mean, you're talking about a young lady who you know, she attended elementary school in Louisiana at the height of desegregation, and of course we know what came out of that whole situation with Brown versus the Board of Education, and she's still here. The crazy part is she's just now reaching retirement age, which, if you think of what all that did just for desegregation in schools, man, you know, I mean, just to really be here to be able to tell her story at 6 years old, facing that kind of life-changing event. But then, you know, you think about the girls, like the bombings, and what was it? Was it Selma that the girls were bombed in the church?
I believe so.
Yeah, but when you think about that, there's always been children in history that have made their mark without really doing anything. I mean, even if you want to talk about young people, Rosa Parks wasn't exactly old either when she refused to give up her seat on the bus. So, you know, just in general, man, there's so many different things. But with education being so poignant, I definitely wanted to give a shout-out to Miss Ruby Bridges for what she did and that brave choice that she made. And then for young men, let's see, who am I going to go with? I will go with, let me see. I'm sorry to keep y'all waiting. We're going to go with, Mr. Gordon Parks. Yeah, let's go with Gordon Parks. Gordon Parks, man. I mean, shoot, you know, he was the first African-American on the staff of Life magazine. He, would of course, be responsible for a lot of the imagery we saw in Vogue. He was a director, and what makes him so poignant is he told black stories in a time that we didn't get to tell our stories as a director. If you ever heard of the blaxploitation era in cinema, while it has been seen as taboo years down the line, we didn't get a chance to direct our own narrative. So movies like Shaft and Jackie Brown and all that kind of stuff was Gordon Parks was responsible for that. You know, and I mean, realistically, he used a camera, and this is a quote from him. He saw the camera that could be used as a weapon against poverty, against racism, and all sorts of social wrongs that he had to tell black stories from black perspectives. So, you know, just to be able to capture black life in real time and control his own narrative, man, I got to give it up to Gordon Parks. That is a blueprint on what we even do today, is to write our own stories and write our own narrative. So, definitely want to give a shout out to Mr. Gordon Parks. Nard, you with us? You might gotta unmute yourself, brother.
All right. There you go. Oh shit, I didn't know I was muted.
You good.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with for my woman, the youngest female judge to be elected or appointed in the U.S. Her name is Jasmine Twitty. I think she was appointed as a judge in South Carolina in 2016. She was 25. So wow. Shout out to her for that. Jeez. And I'm going with government people, because usually you don't see black people putting high, especially high levels of government. So I'm going to go with her and another man that y'all may or may not be familiar with, but his name is Lloyd Austin, who's the Secretary of Defense under Joe Biden. He's the first black Secretary of Defense in the history of the United States. So shout out to Lloyd Austin.
Yeah, that's what's up.
He was recently appointed, right?
Yeah, I think within like the last month.
Yeah,
or two.
Yeah, okay. I remember getting the alert on him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what's up, man. I appreciate that. For sure. Right. Telling black history happening in literal real time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for sure.
Hey, shout out to Eugene Goodman as well, man.
Okay.
If y'all don't know who that is, that's the that was the security guard that was in the Capitol during the insurrection, the one who steered the people the other way, the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's like the chief. Oh, hold on. He was a Capitol police officer. He's now the sergeant at arms for, I think, for the president, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
That's tough.
So, yeah, by him.
Shout out
to
him for his bravery.
Yeah, from his bravery, man, he was definitely rewarded for it, man.
Yeah.
Sure, with that joint out on the niggas.
So when they say, get that money, black man, get the money, black man.
Get paid, young brother, get paid.
Uh-huh.
All right. So let's jump into the National Basketball Association, fellas. All-Star Reserves came out. Now, we did say last week that we were going to wait until the reserves came out before we talked about it. So they're here, and let's talk.
The question is, who did we get wrong?
Yo.
We had looked up a mock and we're thinking of like who's getting snubbed and who's gonna make it. So who did we get wrong?
All right, so let's see. I know.
I don't think a single one of us.
Yeah, nothing on the West was wrong.
No, I don't think I don't think any of us had. I mean, I had CP making it.
Yeah, I had CP making it over.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I was on island. Who else? The Orlando Center. What's his name?
Nikolai Vucevic. Yeah, no, that's the one. And we're gonna get to it. I did not have Vucevic making it. I had somebody else making it. But we'll get to it when we get to the East. But the West, the only contention. On the West? Yeah. That's one. Or East, wherever you prefer.
Yeah, no, we good. Let's get on the West.
Yeah. So the West. Somebody was saying something.
So we're starting with the West.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I'm gonna say this here, man, and this part of it's being devil's advocate, but part of it's not. I'm not so bullish on the Devin Booker thing.
Okay.
Hey, you right here with me. I was ready to state my argument for it today. Everybody on Twitter going crazy. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, everybody's going crazy on Twitter talking about how he was snubbed and he's the most disrespected, you know what I'm saying, player in the league. Whoop. But, I mean, just as sure as we can make an argument for Devin Booker to be an all-star, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know what I'm saying? He got a case.
Mm-hmm.
De'Aaron Fox.
Shai?
Yeah.
De'Aaron, dude.
Shai averaged 23-7. Book averaged 24-4-4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and De'Aaron Fox averaged 23-7 as well. You know what I'm saying? And these are players who don't have a bona fide number two on their team. You know what I'm saying? So,
or number three, because we can't leave out DeAndre Ayton either.
DeAndre Ayton, yeah, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
And these are young players, bro, so they have cases as well. I mean, I get the book is a walking bucket, but you take away his scoring. I mean, and I'm not trying to – this is me making the case, you know what I'm saying, playing devil's advocate a little bit. But Booker is not outside of his scoring, he don't affect the game at all.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, bro, he's a microwave, you feel me? Like,
yes.
When he's cooking, when he's hot, he's hot. But when he's not doing, when he's not shooting the ball, bro, putting the ball in the basket, there's too many stints in the game where he just goes unnoticed.
Missing.
Now, let me ask you this, though, to play the other side. Most of the top players, if you took away their scoring, they would just be average as well. I mean, not too many players are top tier on both ends of the ball, two-way players. There's only a handful of them in the
league. It's not
necessarily just being a two-way
player.
Right, but how many of them control?
What else does he do
outside
though?
Of scoring? It's not defense. It's just strictly offense. Offense is more than just putting the ball. I feel like if you're able to set screens. If you're able to do timely cuts, if you're in the right position at the right time, if you can get an assist.
Passing to assist.
There's several different areas to, like, offense outside of you ended up with 20 points. That 20 point could come. Someone could have had 10 points, but that 10 points was so much better than the 25 you got.
Right.
Just because it came in a different way.
Right.
Now, I know what you mean. I'm just saying there's other guys that we wouldn't question them being all-stars, and if they weren't. Like Kyrie Irving, he doesn't do much outside of scoring. I mean, of course he can pass the ball, do stuff like that, but he's not a true point guard. So if you take away his scoring, he wouldn't be shit. But we would be mad if he wasn't an all-star. I just mean Devin Booker's not alone in the sense of if you take away their offense, they're not even a guy like CJ McCollum. I mean, he's not a perennial all-star every year, but
it's not necessarily picking at Devin Booker though. It's more so only reason that we're saying this about Devin Booker, and you're absolutely right. Only reason we're saying this about Devin Booker is because people are up in arms because he didn't make the All-Star team. He wasn't initially on the All-Star team.
Right.
So it's like, just as sure as that he got snubbed, bro, we can have the same argument for De'Aaron Fox and for
guys who do more with the same numbers.
De'Aaron Fox and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But, I mean, it's only so many spots. You know what I'm saying? That is no, the West has always been tough at the guard position.
So we're going to argue, you know what I'm saying? Oh, he's deserving of to be an All-Star game. I mean, just sure somebody can argue for him to be in the All-Star game, bro. I just made a great fucking point for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and De'Aaron Fox as well.
And let's put in perspective impact on winning, right? Because the Kings are in somewhat of fighting for a playoff spot out west versus, you know.
And the Suns were last year, too.
No, they were, but Devin Booker is actually all of his numbers have gone down this year, and the reason that they're fourth in the West clearly is CP3 and the emergence of DeAndre Ayton.
That hey, let me just get this let me just get this clip off right quick on T-Book. I've been saying this for the longest. Me and Nard, I don't know if Nard remember, we had this back and forth on D-Book like a year and a half ago, bro. And I was like, yo, D-Book just doesn't have any impact on the game. He's the only person I ever seen drop 70, but he lost by 20 plus, and he did nothing towards the game. It's like he just doesn't do anything. And keep in mind, same roster, and now all of these players on this roster is getting so much cred. And like, oh damn, Ayton is a really good center. Oh, what's the dude from Nova that got drafted into Philly on draft night, but then got sent over to Phoenix. Can't remember his name. Really good player.
I'm
now niggas are noticing how nice he is.
Even Cameron Johnson.
You talking about Tyshawn?
He's a stud now, bro. Like, just because people are realizing the talent, because you know why? Now they have a leader. Mikal Bridges. That was his name.
Mikal Bridges.
I was raving about him since draft night because I watched him in college. I knew how nice he is. But now CP is bringing the most out of these guys, and now they're getting the cred that they're supposed to. And all this whole time, they were with D-Book, and no one ever noticed them because D-Book he's not bringing the best out of his teammate. He's not drawing all that. Oh, and he had the same roster. You swapped CP with, what's the nigga that's over there on Minnesota, the point guard?
Rubio.
The same nigga, Now, Donovan Mitchell took Rubio to the playoffs with his roster as a point guard. And smacked Westbrook with that roster.
Stop it. They have Rudy Gobert, too, though.
Yeah, he had other players. I'm just saying.
Gobert is, LeBron. There, by the way.
Hold on now.
Speaking of Rudy Gobert, LeBron just dropped him.
He did. I'm watching the game now.
He missed the jumper, but he dropped him.
But
damn, was it like a push or it was no push? There was no contact? Push.
In and out.
Gosh. Damn, you rarely see LeBron do that for real.
Yeah, facts. But like I'm saying, same roster, serviceable point guard, and you couldn't do nothing with it. So it's like, not, I mean, now,
come now on, we're going to act like the Suns roster, had a good team, though, bro.
The exact same roster.
CB. But Chris Paul's a Hall of Fame.
I agree.
Come on, bro. It's going to raise the play of but everybody.
Nard, I agree. He is a Hall of Fame point guard.
Yeah, Bron got
all
up.
These guys, all these other guys, play has elevated because of what?
Because Chris Paul is better than Devin Booker.
What I've been saying, and I was like, the most important piece on that team is CP. And remember when me and E was looking up his numbers, yeah, I'm like, damn, I'm shocked his numbers look like this. Because watching him play, he's doing everything. He's coaching, he's playing, he's doing everything on the court. I'm like, and D-Book is just there. It just seems like he's there, and CP's putting him in all the right places.
But I feel like in the NBA, bro, everybody, just like guys coming off the bench, everybody has to have a role. So obviously you see that Devin Booker is a prolific scorer, but you can clearly see that he's not going to do enough that's going to lead your team to win. So that's fine, but you still, you're not going to find niggas who get buckets like him. So if you tell me that, all right, I have Devin Booker, but I have to also get a guy who can take us over the top. He doesn't have to be able to score like him. He doesn't have to be able to do nothing like that, but he just has to be able to control this team in a way that puts us in winning positions. But now I have him as well. I mean, most teams are I would take that, and I don't think that makes Devin Booker any less of an all-star. But it does, like Mike said, it does open the argument for other players when the argument for Booker shouldn't be as loud, though, because he doesn't do as much for the Suns as other players do for their teams.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. He's definitely all-star caliber. I just didn't
think he's not superstar caliber, though. I don't think he's a superstar.
Hell no. No, not yet. He hasn't even a level. He needs to upgrade.
Like, I just wish that if the nigga like truly just because obviously you can shoot, you can score. If he just worked on his defense so hard, bro, and he was a great
super. It's not the defense. It's not, bro. It's his IQ and feel for the game that's just not there. He just don't know how to orchestrate an offense and put people where they need to be and get tiny buckets.
No. I'm not saying for him. It's not the defense, bro. I'm saying a player like Klay Thompson doesn't orchestrate an offense either, but he plays so well on both ends. That's why he is who he is. So I'm saying Devin Booker, if he wanted to have more of an impact on wins, if he's not going to do the extra things on offense, if he's not going to try to study film to get his IQ up to know when his players are
going to cut. Okay, I know where you're going at.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, if he just worked on defense, he would be that much better or have more of an impact on
defense. Definitely,
a game,
I agree. So if you're not gonna elevate yourself to that Chris Paul type of mindset where you can dominate the game on the offensive end outside of scoring, at least be a lockdown defender. Two-way player in the league.
Even if you're not a cerebral defender, like all in the past, like just be able to lock your man down no matter what. You know what I'm saying? Off some Tony Allen shit. So
yeah, but he definitely gonna have to do something to get to that superstar level because right now his lack of impact is just wild, bro.
That is crazy. You mentioned that. Like, so you dropped 70 like and lost by
the... noticed the nigga on the court, bro. You know, he caught fire in the fourth. Don't get me wrong. He caught fire, but just like, nigga just disappeared, bro. I forgot he was playing.
But y'all said they fourth in the West?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fourth right now.
Damn.
From being a lottery every year that nigga was on that team.
Mm-hmm.
5 years, I believe. 5 years of being in the lottery.
I feel bad for that nigga Chris Paul, because he ain't going to get no ring, bro. That shit fucked up.
But he couldn't control it because he was in a free agent. That's why I'm mad, because I really wanted him to be a free agent and go to the Clippers. Like, that's what I wanted for him.
Right.
But with 40 mil, not possible.
Winning a championship, man, it's such a... just everything has to happen. Right.
So many things have to go well.
It has to be perfect. So you just have
to it has to be perfect to get to the finals, but even when you get there, you have to have things go right for another four games you gotta win.
Right.
Facts.
But yeah, man, let's continue with the rest of this this All-Star.
Oh yeah, we didn't even list them. All right. For the West. It's Chris Paul George, Damian Lillard.
These are starters or reserves?
Reserves. These are reserves.
These are the reserves. We did the starters. Oh, okay. So, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Zion Williamson, and Anthony Davis. It was announced today, AD is not going to play in the game, so D-Book has replaced AD.
That's scary. It's scary.
Back-to-back replacement.
That's scary, but you know, that's scary more so for the Lakers.
They
said he was going to be out for 4
They're giving up.
It's smart.
Well,
but here's the thing.
They're prioritizing.
They're taking all precautions. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, when you thinking playoffs and championship, you don't give a fuck about this shit. Like we saw Kobe not play in the 2010 game because of an injury, and they won the championship that year. So
what I will say is they need Schroeder back.
Yeah,
Schroeder's impact on the game is so crazy that I didn't really notice until he was gone. Cause I watch a lot of the Lakers games because them niggas always prime time late night niggas get every game, so I'm usually up watching them boys. And Schroeder is so good defensively and off. He learned so much. I feel like he learned so much from CJ. And like that pick and roll, he runs it well. He's a bucket on an island. You put him on an ISO, he kills you. And he disrupts on offense all the time. He plays the passing lane, and then you connect him with a offensive genius, screw offensive, a basketball mind like LeBron. I feel like that only made him better.
Yeah, I agree.
And now without him, the Lakers are doo-doo.
I agree.
Cause like they already don't got AD, so now like it's literally one good basketball mind on the court.
And speaking of shot, like Mike was talking about tonight, he dropped 42-8. 42-8 on the Spurs.
Listen, so, them boys in the OKC, they starting to build something again.
They are. And Horford has been playing his role very well there this year too.
Very well.
I forgot. Yeah, I think he laid a dud in Philly.
He
You know what it was? It wasn't the right situation for him.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah, when you coming off of being the starting center of somewhere like the Celtics for years and then trying to fit in with another starting center, it's not like you don't just go back and play power forward after having not played it since what, early Atlanta years?
Yeah.
It just don't work like that. Especially what power forwards are today. Because remember, when he came in the league, power forwards were still in the paint, all that kind of shit. Man, power forwards, everything's a point forward now.
Fact, but and the only reason I thought it was gonna work in Philly because he played stretch center everywhere he went, so he never just been like a paint dominant guy. So he's always played out. That's why I thought that 1-2 combo with him and B would have worked perfectly, but they didn't work at all. It threw him off completely.
In hindsight, just for ability, I probably would have ran B quote unquote at the four just because he has more ability to do stuff in this point in his career, but I mean, whatever, it's over now, so
yeah, hell yeah.
Don't really matter. But you I mean, I'm sure you get what I'm saying.
Much better, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but shoot, man, I don't see any snubs. I don't see anybody else that I would have left off. I think Rudy Gobert undoubtedly deserved it. He came back.
Yeah, niggas gotta stop trying Rudy just because you know he's overpaid and doesn't play.
I don't know. I would say if you look at his.
Rudy's not worth $200 million. Well, Rudy $40 million a year, bro.
Okay. Think about this. I think when we talk about these contracts, we're talking from what we're used to what contracts being.
No. I'm not talking about what used to. I'm talking about now. Rudy's not worth $40 million, bro.
I mean, okay. Look at it this way. Listen to his resume.
I know his resume.
Huh?
I know it, bro. I watched the awards. I know he got the awards, bro. I know he got the all defense appearances, bro. I know all that, bro. I'm stunned on giving Rudy $40 million, bro.
I mean, just for context, bro. A defensive player of the year gets you those extra levels of being paid like a scoring champion. You understand? So, like, we talk about the business. I kind of understand still why he got $200 million. I do. And
I think he got it off of necessity.
Was he 23, 24? Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's 20, 28.
I want to say like 26.
He's 28. Okay, so, yeah.
The nigga been here for a minute now.
He's right in his prime.
Yeah. He is. He's
bro,
a very
but
good,
$200 million, that's a top player defender. In the league, bro.
But think about it. $200 million.
That type of money, bro?
$250 is the top you can get now.
So you're saying Rudy Gobert is $50 million away from being the top player in the league?
I'm saying yes. When you look at his resume,
that's wild.
That sounds wild, but look at his resume, bro.
I've seen it. Still no.
Bro, if it were another player,
I'm saying if he got more buckets,
I don't have
like, I'm not saying
that nigga.
Two-time All-Star, NBA, four-time All-Defense, two-time Defensive Player of the Year, and a block champ. That sounds like a max contract guy to me.
Hell no.
Well, what is a max contract?
I think max should be reserved for niggas who are multiple time, not even multiple, but you got to at least make one first team All NBA or multiple second All NBA.
He's a 3-time All NBA.
No, I'm talking second team, second or first. I'm talking max players. Max players. Like, you can't just give maxes to everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, to me, it's just like the Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, okay, of course teams have a salary cap and they're going to want to spend the money because you have to attract the fans somehow. So you have to, oh, we gave this thing. It's like it kind of builds the aura around that nigga. They gave him this big-ass contract, so he must be that player. It's going to draw the fans, blah, whatever. But I feel like you have to kind of reserve it for the guys who truly deserve it.
He's a one-time second and two-time third. All defensive first team.
And so that's what I'm saying. So how do you determine the difference between a nigga like, I mean, the top guys in the league, your LeBrons, your Stephs, your guys who go to the All-Star game and are multiple, Kevin Durant, James Harden, these guys are.
Those are the guys that get 250.
That's what I'm saying.
Those are what constitute. No, that's what constitutes a supermax. There is a supermax.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. If there's that tier of player, then okay.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. Like, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Yes, there's a supermax.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Because that means he's second tier.
Right. And
yeah, he's definitely a second tier player.
Yeah. But let's get to the East, because the East is where we got some contention. And I'm just going to throw mine out there first before niggas get to decking. Jaylen Brown, James Harden, Zach LaVine, Julius Randle, Ben Simmons, Jason Tatum, and Nikola Vucevic. I have an argument for one player on this list, and it's not who y'all thinking about.
Go ahead, Ben Simmons. Who you got a problem with?
I got a problem with Vucci Man making this list. I'm picking Sabonis.
I'm cool with either one, and I like Nikola going crazy over there in Orlando.
He is, but I'm rewarding winning. I'm rewarding winning.
What about Jeremy Grant?
I like the Jeremy Grant thing. They're not winning
here too, but yeah, them niggas are dead last in the league.
Talking with Jeremy Grant, bro. Second last. You can't name five players on that roster right now.
Yeah.
Can true. I? That is a very good question. Can I?
Nah. You name three. It's three.
Hold on. This is a good challenge. Let me see.
I say Jeremy Grant and Blake Griffin. Now name five people.
What's that nigga name that just won Player of the Week that I had no idea he was on the team? Seki or something like that. Seku, Siddiqui. There you go, Siddiqui. Something like that.
That shit don't even count. Look at this.
It's a nigga on that team. It's a motherfucker on that
bro,
team.
Bro, the nigga named crazy, bro.
Bro, listen, Reggie Jackson on that
is
team.
Is Ish down there?
No, Ish in DC, man.
Wait.
Reggie Jackson on there? No, he's not. Is it?
Reggie Jackson played for the Clippers.
Oh, I was gonna say, yeah.
This nigga, what's bro, it called? Jackson. Christian, where you at?
I heard Earl said Jackson. I was like, wait, I don't think he on there.
wait, there's no way.
Josh Jackson, I'm tripping. It's not Reggie.
Yeah, Josh Jackson's on that
team. Josh Jackson is there. Yeah, I forgot about it.
Oh, Wayne Ellington, he got called the bum by Draymond after that Golden State game.
It's another player on there that name-wise stands out, but not really play-wise.
Yeah, I'm done, bro. That's it. I can't remember.
Charlie
Ellis
on there.
This one, I knew Charlie Okafor.
Jaleel Okafor and Mason Plumlee.
Oh, I didn't even know Jaleel was on there. I forgot he was on there.
And it's a little point guard on there.
Dennis Smith just got traded over there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So where am I? Am I two?
You ain't nowhere, nigga. We'd have been helping you like we building the bridge together.
Right. Nigga, I got, what's it called? what's his name?
Man, Killian Ellington is over there.
Killian did get drafted over there, the French nigga.
Yeah, man. But nah, yeah,
that's it. Them niggas, it's impossible over there. It's ghost town.
Yeah, no, it's Detroit though, so it ain't nothing but South Canada. Anyways,
that's how you say that nigga name, Sadiq Bey.
Yeah, that sound like Mos Def. But yeah, man, like I said, I'm going for Sabonis over Vucevic. I understand that Vucci Man is a great player. He balling, but again, they fourth in the East, so that's me. And one more thing. Devin Booker is very, very, very lucky that James Harden got traded to the East. Or this wouldn't even be a conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of first-timers on this list. Jew Randall. Zach is
shout hooping. Out to Jew and Zach. And shout out to, you know, whenever the team, you know, goes all out for the players when they get these first-time nominations, bro.
Yeah,
like it's really dope, bro. Because I seen the message with Julius and his mother.
Yeah,
and, Zach LaVine with his parents and his teammates. That was so dope.
Yeah.
So big congrats to both of them boys. They've been grinding. Zach been working, bro. Since those Minnesota days, bro. Been grinding, and you know,
imagine being this moment. Trading Zach LaVine, thinking Andrew Wiggins is better.
Wow. Timberwolves going Timberwolves. And, man, congratulations to Jaylen Brown. They finally got it right. Getting my boy in the All-Star game. He should have been there last year.
No, he shouldn't. No, he should not.
Sorry, you want
to this is the one he deserved.
You want to retract that?
No. No, I'm not retracting none of that. Okay. He shouldn't have been there last year. This year, for a fact, who should have been there last year was Brad.
So, okay.
How y'all feel about Ice Tray?
I don't feel any way about it. I feel like the NBA is done with awarding high scoring guys and not winning.
And he, his team and him are not performing. They're underperforming like a mug. Remember, we always have to have that good behind roster that, you know, the organization put together.
Yep.
And they haven't been doing anything with it, bro. They've been losing a lot. They lost, they said the other day on ESPN, they lost the most close games in the leagues. I think it's 6 points and under. I think they said they lost seven of those. All seven, they lost all. Like, the niggas not playing well, bro. They're not closing out games. It's just not going well. Trae Young is second in the league in turnovers. It's bad, bro. It's bad. I mean,
they are the youngest team in the league, too.
That
is, yeah. This is Trae's second year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean they're still learning.
No, third year, isn't it? Third year. It's Trae third year. This what's called a second year? Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah.
I'm on John Collins in the league. 3 years as well.
Collins four years. I think it's fifth.
No, I'm like his fifth.
It's 3 years. This is the fourth.
I thought he came in the same year as Trae Young.
No. He was there earlier. Let me find out now. John Collins. He's 23, but you're not telling me the years. That was just trash. Not off that pack.
You said what?
Nardo sleeping. Who's sleeping?
Oh, no, I ain't sleeping.
Oh, I thought somebody was sleeping. I was saying, damn.
Yeah. Day? Christian, he's played 3 years. He's playing his fourth. He's in his fourth year right now.
Oh, he's in his fourth?
Okay. Yeah, he's in his fourth right now. Because I remember he was up for an extension, but he declined it because he didn't get the max like everybody else was getting.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I say,
but yeah.
If you say one really surprises, huh?
Yeah, I agree. I think everybody who should have made it.
Yeah.
Well deserved.
Did they say what events they're doing?
They're doing the 3-point contest before the game, the dunk contest at halftime of the game.
No, that's
tough. Or vice versa, but I think it's 3-point, then dunk contest.
Oh, I guess no skills competition?
No skills.
That's gay.
So let me gauge y'all interest on this. I heard people today saying they don't think Zion should have made it. How y'all feel about that?
I think you should.
Niggas are nuts.
I think you should have.
Niggas are on drugs.
And I'm not gonna lie. Initially, I think, because you know what it is, I didn't really feel the impact from it. Sleep. No. Real talk. Because last year, you know, it seemed like they were on a different trajectory. You know, just winning and stuff like that. And then Stan Van Gundy got there, and I really had hope for them. But you know, it just hasn't looked as promising as I would have thought. They're starting to catch a little something now, but all in all, I'm still not as.
What's B.I. been on this year?
Kind of naturally taking a backseat. It doesn't seem like he's as aggressive. He seems like post All-Star break B.I. from last year, because it seemed like he wanted to make that All-Star team so bad last year. He made it, and then when they got in, and you know, the league shut down about 3 weeks later, and then they got in the bubble, and I just didn't see that same spark from him. And I mean, you know.
I mean, yeah, I agree. But I think it's because Zion's there, so it's like he's such a gifted guy. Remember, he is averaging 25-7 right now. Yes. Like, he is killing.
And to be fair, B.I. is averaging 24. Right. He averaged 24.
24, 5-5.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he still has a good number. Remember, that number was high last year because of those, like, 50 games he had to himself of being number one option.
Actually, he's averaging there at all. He's averaging 23.9 versus 23.8 last year. And this year, he's averaging one less rebound.
One more assist.
Yeah, see? And I mean,
so like,
and about a block a game.
Percentage higher.
But you know what it is? It's not as loud because the focus isn't on
him. Respect, bro.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Star versus superstar.
Exactly. Wait, but isn't Zion leading the league in field goal percentage?
Percentage, yeah.
He has to be.
No, I don't think he is. I don't think he is anymore. Damn, they just dropped that joint.
Who was it, probably Gobert or DeAndre Jordan?
Yeah, Gobert. It's crazy. That boy Gobert shoots 98% of his.
No, it was Jared Allen right now. Okay. Jared Allen, 67%.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Zion's at 61. And, I mean, it's not bad. He's shooting 35% from three. It's not bad.
That's solid. That's hella solid.
It's not bad.
He's shooting 0.6 a game. So, you know.
And on top of that, he's 6 inches shorter.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and he uses so much power to play in general.
Bro. I was watching that Boston highlight. Wow.
But I do think. I
watched that game. All right, bro.
I didn't get to watch that game. I watched the highlights while he bullied them boys in that
second half. I was having a conversation earlier. I do think that weight is going to fall off on him, similar to what we saw with Barkley and shit. Just, I may have overreacted, and I'll admit if I did overreact. With him being so big, I mean, shit, he's too big.
The weight don't matter now because he's so young. But yeah. If he wants longevity in the league, he's going to have to shed some pounds.
He's going to have to go down and lean down about that 245 range.
And he
I think it's going
to happen.
You say you think it's going to happen?
Yeah, yeah. Because, bro, think about it, bro. Nobody outside of Kobe, nobody in the NBA really paid attention to their diet like that pre-25 years old.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Kobe is an anomaly, bro. He was 16 years old, icing his knees after AAU games. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Niggas, these kids now, well, not even kids nowadays, bro, just in general, even us. We used to go play sports, bro. We didn't stretch when we was 15, 16, 17 years old.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So Zion, his bounce back is a lot easier because how young he is. Like, people got to remember, bro, the kid just turned 21. You know what I'm saying? He's still a kid, dog. Like, that weight fall off, definitely. And I think he's gonna be in a circle where everybody sees his potential. It's gonna be people who are really invested in him. People outside of that the Pelicans organization who, like, bro, you feel me? Like, you need to have some longevity. You got it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they're gonna invest in him, and that's gonna make him invest in himself, bro. And I think, like I said, by next year, which is year three, we're going to see his body change a little bit. We're going to see a slimmer Zion. I believe by year four, year five, bro, he's going to be a lot slimmer.
Yeah. Still, you know, what I do have hope with is his head coach. If they can keep Stan Van Gundy there.
Yes. Hell yeah.
Who has the experience of coaching a very in-shape Shaq. Let's not forget – Shaq was husky leaving the Lakers, and he don't play that husky shit. Shaq was in some of the best shape of his life in that Eastern Conference championship run in 2005. And then, of course, with Dwight Howard, Dwight having probably, you know, just one of the best anatomies in the league. That was Stan Van Gundy's head coaching tenure. So, shit, I mean, Zion should be all right. But, you know, again – it just has to be. It has to be in a player to want it to, not just because you're in that situation. Does that happen?
Whew.
So, yeah.
Hey, LaMelo, give me three.
Yeah. And shoot, man.
Bro, these are Jazz is really putting it on Lakers right now.
Yeah, the Lakers need help.
No AD, no Schroeder.
No Schroeder. No.
I'm telling you that's a completely different team. Those are your two biggest pieces.
Yeah.
Remember the Washington just smacked them boys.
Oh yeah,
hey Washington.
Bron missed the game winning free throw.
Washington is putting it together.
They are. This is a good time to do it.
I don't think they're gonna be a big threat, but they're gonna be fun.
Yeah,
to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still don't think they made the playoffs like I predicted in the preseason, but you know it's still early.
But wait, aren't they doing the
right now? Year? They're not even eligible for the play-in.
No, that's what I'm saying. Are they doing like a play-in for like the final?
Yeah, and as of now, they wouldn't be eligible for that either.
Yeah,
So the play-in is going to go, and it's crazy. It's actually going to get us to what I was talking about. The play-in is going to be from May 18th to 21st, and it's going to be for the 7 through 10 seeds. So that's going to be good. But shoot, man, let's talk about that. The NBA released the second half schedule, and there's not much of a break between All-Star break and now. The conclusion of the All-Star break, they will resume play on the following day and run through May 16th. I've never seen it happen this quickly. I understand that they're trying to get things back and go, but hell, they'll have held the second half of the schedule. They could have just did the whole schedule if they were going to play, have them play the day after the All-Star break.
For real?
Yeah.
They resume the day after?
Games will resume the following day through May 16th. Now, for context, when do games stop is my question. I want to see when these games will stop. But either way, so what the interesting part about that is that there's 30 games that have to be replayed, mostly from the Washington Wizards. So I'm assuming they're going to do this makeup during those times. A lot hasn't been fully expressed yet, but I'm assuming they're going to do these makeup games during that time of the schedule being lighter with them coming back. Hello?
Yep.
Okay. With the schedule being lighter and coming back with them coming back so quickly, I'm going to assume they're going to work those games in and reschedule. So obviously, Washington has 2 weeks of games to make up for while the rest are spread sporadically throughout the league. What's y'all thoughts on the NBA turning around so quickly from All-Star break?
I mean, it's terrible for these guys, man.
It's terrible, but it's also
already a condensed season too.
It is terrible, but I feel like given the circumstances with everything and how everything went and all that, I guess the original plan, like having the season regularly,
have them rest.
No, I'm saying if they would have had the season regularly, I think it would have fell into, like, their target date for actually starting. Because I'm sure once by next year, things will slowly start getting back to normal in the sense of sports. Like, they'll probably go back to starting how they originally did, how they used to. So, right. I think it was just this season that it was just like, you know, unfortunately, this is how we're going to have to do it. This is how we got to do things. You know, I know the players probably aren't happy with it, but at the same time, if you think about it, there wasn't that many. The only teams that really took like a beating, like in the playoffs, was what, the Lakers and the Heat. Everyone else really got a real rest.
Yeah, it's not that. It's that since the season started, it's been game after game. Like in a regular season, there's the team you might get a 3-day break, mm-hmm. a 2-day break. You know, in between, if you after you go on like a long road trip or something. Before you play another game, there's none of that. You're not getting two nights off. No team has two nights off. So you play either back to back or you miss one game. You miss a night and then, you know, next night you got a game again. So this schedule is already condensed and they're playing all these games. And the only break they were supposed to have is that All-Star break since it was originally not supposed to happen. So that was supposed to be their break, like this little 3-4 day period. That's supposed to be their break. But now that's no longer there. It's straight to it. There's no break. You play through that, and then you get right back started all over again and straight to it. And then I guess the players are just pissed because you gave them an agreement in the beginning of the season on what was going to happen. And now, you know, you chose the profit and the revenue over, and you chose to implement an All-Star game anyways. So I guess you are heated, especially if you told me this is how things were going to play out and we've been playing these games back to back to back to back. I would like to keep things the way I originally planned my season to go instead of you just, you know, saying after we're just going to play through everything.
Nah, that's a fact. Mike, how you feeling?
Yo. You,
your mic.
Nar, how you feeling about the resuming of the NBA, the second half of the season?
Okay, there you go.
Like Jeff said, I'm more along the lines. I think if you're gonna do all this on one night, it's obviously it must be a TV revenue thing, maybe, because it can't be like a ticket revenue thing or really like a huge attraction to the city for All-Star Weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, let me pause you there.
So you could have just let him rest.
Let me pause you there. I can confirm that the fact that it's in Atlanta, the fact that Turner Sports is in Atlanta, is not a coincidence. And that's all I'll get into on that.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, I mean, it is still in Atlanta, so they're going to find a way to have an All-Star Weekend. But I don't know, man. I feel like for one night to have everybody come from all across the country just for one game, and then you got to fly back out and play tomorrow. Like, you could have let them rest, bro. Especially when you just started the season after just finishing the season a couple, maybe a month. How long were they out? Maybe 2 months, was it?
Yeah.
From the bubble.
Yeah, depending on how far you made it, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So you're talking about guys just coming back, and then, damn, All-Star Weekend, we got to fly here just to play one game and then play tomorrow. It's like, nah, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, shit. It is what it is on it, but I mean, same time we have seen just some wild experiences with this year and how everything goes.
To be honest, you know what I think is going to be the only normalcy in sports? It's probably going to be baseball. To be honest with you.
Well, when will they start? They supposed to be back on schedule.
They're literally starting on schedule.
That might be the start of it, depending on how that shit goes.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the same thing for the NFL. I think they're going to get their schedule back on the way it usually is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the NFL really was, for the most part. They just had a couple, as far as the games during the season. But
it was a little delayed, and then you didn't have OTAs and mini camp. It went straight to training camp, and even training camp was very short and condensed, so...
Right.
I think now it'll go back to regular. I think they'll still implement a little bit of virtual, training in there. But for sure. But for the most part, they'll go back to normal.
And I mean, one thing we got to factor in too is the more that people are getting vaccinated, stuff. Those that are choosing to vaccinate, it's going to open up for more opportunities of people doing things in person. So by the time that, summer hits, I mean, shoot, they're talking about, in general, we may have a summer or somewhat of a summer. So that includes sports, right? So with them trying to have the Olympics and all that kind of stuff, we should be all right for football next year to resume as normal. Should be. But we'll see. We've been optimistic before. But, man, before we get up out of here, Let's talk about that championship that happened down in Australia, man.
Crazy Dons, because not too many people jump with him.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Huh? Nah, I'm not going to hold you.
You said what? Or would you drive?
I got a second rapid fire.
Malaysia.
Give me that five. Five off the top of your dome right now. Posters.
Posters?
Yeah.
And no order?
No order. Give me five.
Anthony Edwards. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Jordan.
Oh, goodness gracious.
You talking about the one on Littlefoot?
Knight. On Brandon Knight. I'm going to go T-Mac.
Yao?
Bradley.
Sean Bradley.
I'm going to go Kobe on Dwight.
Oh, my goodness.
Ooh.
And then I'm going to go... We count international ball as well.
International, college.
Oh,
don't matter. You know the body bag.
Whatever you can remember.
Yeah. I gotta go, Vince, man.
Mike's body bag.
Did y'all say? I mean, I know this was kind of unfair, but that nigga shouldn't have jumped when DeAndre Jordan dunked on Brandon Knight.
Yeah, we put that. We did.
Okay. All
right.
We'll never forget that.
I'll go. I'm gonna do DeAndre Jordan.
Oh, and LeBron will change out. My bad.
Ooh, that was nasty. I'm going to go DeAndre Jordan on Brandon Knight. I'm going to go Stoudemire on Candyman.
Ooh.
I'm going to go Pippen on Ewing.
Oh, my goodness.
What was the DeAndre Jordan? What was it? Was that Jordan on Ewing?
Was Jordan, no, when Jordan caught three,
Ewing,
caught,
but it was nowhere near as bad as Scotty.
Bro, that joint where he did the fake spin, bro. And
yes, he's talking about yeah, that one was the go back.
Yo, yeah, spin, the half spin made it so much more iconic.
That was nasty.
I'm gonna go.
He almost broke Stark's knee.
Nigga,
I'm gonna go. Dr. J on the break on Coop. And then. Jordan do got a lot. Jordan
a lot.
But you know what? I'm gonna go a different Vince. I'm gonna go a different Vince. Because Mike already said it for everybody. So I'm gonna go
with Vince. I already know my Vince.
You said Vince on who?
On Zoe?
I wanna do Vince on Zoe. But there's
Vince
one.
On Zoe is my. Yeah.
I think they were playing the Pacers and he caught a reverse alley.
Ooh.
On
but that was in a poster.
It wasn't a poster though. Like,
oh, when, okay, cool. And I'll go Vince.
Yeah, that's the thing. I remember the one in on Indiana. I remember that one.
You know what I'm saying? He caught that.
Oh
reverse.
My goodness! Yeah, when he pumped it, when he yo crazy.
I got drop five. Y'all ready? All
right.
Number one, Anthony Edwards. Number two, okay. Derrick Rose on Dragic.
Oh my gosh!
I was thinking that one too, boy. You know it's my man.
Hey.
I got
LeBron. I got two LeBrons. I got LeBron over Damon Jones.
Uh-huh. That's mass LeBron too.
Yes. Yep. Yes. You got LeBron on Terry. And then I'm gonna go with Kobe Bryant over Ben Wallace.
Ooh, yes, I remember that.
Oh, sleeper.
Wallace, yeah. And UNLV.
And UNLV. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Another Bron, and I hope that Nard mentioned it. It's another Bron. Go ahead, Nard.
I know which one you're talking about, E.
It's another Bron, and I hope Nard mentioned it. Go
recently,
ahead.
Though.
Yes.
Go ahead, Nard. Nah, y'all got me. I was talking. I wasn't even thinking about recent. Go ahead.
Which one? Bron got a couple of one recently. He got the Portland joint, and he had the Sacramento joint.
I think it was Bogdanovich.
Yes. No.
It wasn't Bogdanovich. It was what's the nigga name? He's a shooting power forward. But something like that would have.
I thought it was Bogdanovich.
I think it was Bogdanovich.
Remember, it's two different Bogdanoviches in the league, bro.
Oh, the Kings that went to Atlanta. It's not. It wasn't him.
All right.
No, on that Sacramento one that Bron had like a year ago.
Bogdanovich, man.
I'm telling you. Mike, I'm telling you.
Hold on. I'll tell you. Hold on.
You talking about Werther?
No, it's Nemanja Bjelica or something.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Oh, Bjelica?
Yeah. No, there's another. Dang, no, I can't believe you ain't mentioned this one. All right.
And then the Portland one, another, on what's it called? It was filthy.
There's another Bron. It was a Sunday afternoon. Mike, this what you talking about?
Which one?
Black and white jerseys.
Oh.
Oh my gosh. He jumped over that nigga.
And then he caught.
He did clear John Lucas. Clear.
I got. I can one up you on that one.
All right. What you got?
2 years ago, Giannis on Tim Hardaway Jr.
He did clear that nigga too.
He's taller, too. Bro. We get that. We talking 5'9", mm-hmm. Then we talking 6'5".
Facts.
Yeah.
All right, I got something for y'all. I don't know if y'all.
All right, go ahead.
Y'all
mentioned.
Damn, I gotta think of one more because I only got four right now.
That's well, yeah,
Anthony Edwards.
Gotta put Blake Griffin in here somewhere.
Oh no,
I had one.
So obviously Anthony Edwards is in there. Then I got Kobe on Dwight. I don't know if y'all mentioned that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Baron Davis on Karolanko.
Hey.
D Wade when he dunked on Varejao.
Come on. You stealing mine. I can't use that one no more.
Blake Griffin on Mozgov.
Oh.
See, I had a different
one. About.
I know what one Jeff got. And I bet you I get to. He got Blake on Powell.
On Powell.
Stop playing with me two times. But we just gonna count it as one for this top five.
Hey, a lot of niggas that got yammed on in the league. So serious.
But yeah, for my five,
I got Blake. Oh, matter of fact, I can't even disrespect this nigga because I am a LeBron fan. Jason Tatum on LeBron was nasty.
Yeah, no. That joint
was nasty. Jason Tatum on LeBron was nasty. Hey,
that joint was nasty.
Look up just for the size.
And remember, Jalen Brown got last year.
That was wild. Google Derek Coleman on Shaq. Son. Nobody.
Oh, yeah, he talks about Shaq. It. I've seen it. Bro, yeah.
Nobody ever seen that. Bro. What?
Yeah, but check me out. I got Blake on Powell. Mm-hmm. I got Vince Carter on Alonzo Mourning. That Nets jersey when he behind the back off Jason Williams came down. Hey,
is that the one where he hit the motorcycle joint after?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But hey, behind the back off the loose ball. Oh my God, came down the paint and brought it. Outside shoulder where, bro, Lonzo had no chance. Funked it on him. Send him to the ground.
Bro, I remember yesterday, bro.
It's only Sean been
Kemp dunk.
On Al Lister.
That's all-time fave.
Al Lister, yes, sir.
The double point. The double point after he spiked it on him. Wow. Yes, sir. Goodness gracious. That's up there. That's three. Anthony Edwards, of course. That's four and five. And DeAndre Jordan, bro. I cannot, bro. Like that dunk was so bad.
Let's talk about that dunk though. Do y'all remember Dwight Howard caught somebody just like that?
Dwight caught someone just like that.
Dwight caught somebody. He's lucky it was a local bum little Friday game. Hey. Not bum. Dwight caught Tim Duncan on an alley oop.
On the alley oop.
Victor Oladipo caught Dwight in OKC. That was another nasty one. Off a double pump with two hands, he caught Dwight and bashed it on him. It's some out there, man.
We might gotta one day compose a list of the top 50.
And that was Drew. That was Drew Holiday that Dwight dunked on.
Yeah, that was what he got,
bro. Yeah, that was so nasty.
We might spike it on Drew.
We might one day gotta do a top 50 list of just.
But the thing about it, Drew didn't fall. Brandon fell straight on his back.
Now, Brandon's still falling.
Literally, he hasn't been the same since then.
Of course not.
His career has just been going down the hill.
He just dunked it so hard, bro.
Oh, my goodness.
Like,
bro, he dunked it on Kendrick Perkins was bad, too.
At half court, bro.
Yeah.
Bro, the ball legit went past half court.
It was bad, bro. It was wow. I didn't even watch that game. I just remember watching it that night.
I would say LeBron on KG.
I remember that.
It was scared to jump.
Bro, it's one that KG got. I cannot remember what
Wade dunk. Wade on Perkins was bad, and Blake on Perkins. Both of them both got him.
Oh, when Wade went doing the cabbage patch on him
off the spin, bro. He's spinning, something on with two hands. Goodness gracious,
that was filthy.
Filthy, bro.
And wasn't doing a cabbage patch on that boy.
Yeah, I don't know if I remember this one, but James Harden on JJ Hickson.
I think I do.
Is a filthy.
Ain't Wade catch a body on Virgil?
Yeah, Nard
mentioned that one. That was one of my faves too.
I forgot about the
OKC days. And he untucked the jersey with it and started breathing hard on them boy. Like,
y'all remember Blake? Y'all remember Blake on Plumlee?
Yeah.
Blake on Plumlee.
And what's Buddy name from Orlando? Terrence Ross got what's his name? Buddy with the dreads. That we talked about him one day. That like out of nowhere, he just don't play anymore. The nigga from Denver.
Fareed.
Kenneth Fareed.
Well, stuff like
Terrence Ross funked on him so bad. Oh my goodness.
Terrence Ross got a bounce too.
Yo, yeah, freakish bounce. That
you not he, is he still lead?
Yeah,
he'll still be going off in Orlando.
Damn.
Yeah, but nah, it's been a lot, bro. It's been a lot out there, bro. Goodness.
When T Mac knocked on John Bradley.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that was
later came back.
I was like, come on, son, bro.
Nah, you remember when Kobe checked Dwight into, or not Dwight, but checked Yao into the NBA hotel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when he went. Bro.
Hey, Del. No, we talking about this.
Hold on.
Del. Not A.
I know what Ross is talking about now.
About who?
That boy leaned back on him.
Mm-hmm. Who you talking about?
Terrence Ross.
That dunk now, yeah.
Hey, nah, I got this one. DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan on Mozgov.
Did anybody make J.R. Smith on Gary Neal? The two hand?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That boy. Bro, that was the first time I seen Cool Grays in person, bro. And he caught it.
From damn near free throw line on Gary Neal.
I feel like he was watching that joint in the lobby or something.
Bro. Oh, Kobe dunked on Yao, man.
Yo,
yeah.
Oh, I know another one. This one for me, even though it didn't count, but God damn, I think it was still fire. The John Morant on Kevin Love.
Yeah, that joint was crazy.
Damn.
He was falling away too. It spiked it on him.
Yep, almost. I mean, he didn't do it.
Yo,
caught Yao Ming crazy.
Yo, I didn't know that.
You know who else used to get up there too? I don't know how we got down on this list, but fuck it, bro. Ricky Davis, dog. Ricky Davis,
you yeah, ignorant bunny. Yeah. Shout out to Ricky for trying to get the what was it, the triple double?
Yeah.
My mouth is off the rims of himself.
Y'all know who used to dunk so violently? Fucking Crash, bro. That motherfucker, Gerald Wallace.
Gerald Wallace.
He used to dunk.
Gerald got
so
some bodies, too.
Oh, yeah, he do for sure.
Yo, if I'm not mistaken, bro, I believe Gerald Henderson had caught a body in
three. Gerald Harrison caught a couple, bro.
Yeah, he got sneaky bun.
He had at least a 45 in bird. Ain't no way.
Bro.
Bro, Gerald was at the rim at that time.
I'm mistaken. Let me see. Was it Dwight? Yeah, it was Dwight.
He caught Dwight?
Gerald Henderson. Yeah, from Duke. Hey, Nard, what you doing, bro? You getting some fellatio or something?
I tell you, bro. You all right, bro?
You say what?
You sound like you're getting some mean noggin, bro.
Gerald on Dwight when Dwight was with the Lakers, bro.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my word.
Hey. Oh, just cut that. I think it's these AirPods. These joints, like, super sensitive.
Yeah, niggas.
I got these new joints, man. That shit crazy.
Hey, I'm looking at this dunk compilation. Bro. This man, I forgot what's his name. Mello caught a body off of Paul Millsap.
Yo, and I remember the Millsap off the
field. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yes,
Mello went to tapping his chest. Watching, yeah.
Oh yeah, Yao did get he got Ben Wallace a couple times.
You say Yao got
Ben
Wallace? Yeah, Yao got Ben Wallace, bro.
Yao don't count though.
I mean, yeah, I'm saying he nigga tiptoe. He's dunking.
Yeah.
Shit. But shoot, man, let's get into the Australian Open, man. Definitely major sports event. But before we get, let's do the Australian Open. Shoot, man, Naomi Osaka. We talked about what obviously happened between her and Serena.
Her and Serena, yeah.
Yeah, man.
And she finished everything off.
She finished it off. Chip. And how old is Naomi?
23, 24.
I want to let me, you know, we got Google.
She's 23.
You fact checked it?
Yeah, she's 23. She'll be 24 in October. Now, in her own way, she's definitely carving her own lane to get up there and possibly be up in GOAT status one day. But so far, man, she's so damn dominant, man. This shit's crazy. And I'm not going to lie. I thought that we were going to see, and it's still early, so it could happen, but I thought that we were going to see, you know, some battles between her and Coco, man. But I don't know. I just ain't
Coco's still young. Remember that. I think Coco's 19.
Not even, bro.
Nah. Coco's
not even 19?
Coco's like 17.
See, yeah, it's still young. It's still way early for her. So give her some time. Coco got promise, though. Straight out of Delray, too.
Yep. Yes, sir.
She's not 17. She's 16.
16.
Yeah, yes.
Which means when she competed in the U.S. Open, what was that, 2019?
No, it was last year. She was 15, bro.
It was last year, right?
Yeah, it was last year when we was talking about it. When her and Osaka competed. Yeah,
last year, she's 15. She'll be 17 in March. So it is early, but I don't know, man. Just tennis is in good hands. It is. I mean, we're seeing now
two black queens. You gotta love it.
Yeah, and we're seeing the Serena effect kind of be passed down to now a generation, and hopefully we'll see more of that. You know, what I would like to see though, and not to make the whole racial thing, I would like to see some brothers get in there, man, and really start dominating in tennis.
No, facts. Yeah.
I would love to see that, dog. Because we watch it. We watch it. I just want to see us start playing.
That's a fact.
Yeah, I want to see some brothers get in there, man. Start, you know, let's get our own Naomi.
Arthur Ashe.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, oh, you're like, let's get back
there. Yeah, like the most popular stadium is named after a black man. No black man. Wait.
Yeah, like, let's get in there.
Yeah, and it's gonna take some people to, you know, set that trend in our neighborhoods. Yeah, you know, sure. All we see is the football players and basketball players. So, you know, that's what the kids gravitate to because that's all they see. So it's gonna take some guys to set that example and be like, yeah, you can play tennis too.
But so, you know what's lead so these crazy kids that way.
Once they hear about how much money in it.
Facts. It is bread.
Without the CTE.
Yeah, sure. It is bread in there. What's good, Z?
You know how many linebackers would be good at playing tennis? Because they cover the field from side to side.
Corners too. Lateral movement.
Hell, you come here talking
all them DBs.
Then they come here talking booty chatter. Nigga, go back where you was.
Nigga,
yeah. Hey, you muted that nigga.
Nigga, I do not want to see.
Hey, don't let him play with you like that, Dale. Come back.
I want to see Bobby Wagner on the fucking tennis court.
Hey, hold up.
I think Dale means what I thought. You know,
how many linebackers would be good? Lateral move, man. I ain't trying to hear that lateral movement shit, nigga. They'll get on that court, and get their ass spanked, big stiff ass, muscular ass, nigga.
speaking of big stiff motherfucker, imagine Darren Williams playing tennis, nigga. Get the fuck out of here.
Nah, Darren Williams, the point guard.
Yes, nigga, stocky ass Darren Williams.
Hell no,
Y'all imagine Ray Lewis out there doing his little dance right before the match?
No,
intimidation.
No, dog.
6-0 off of the intimidation, nigga. You better not hit that ball.
Hold up. Quick question. So, do y'all think with the amount of like, let's say a football player makes a transition after retirement, right, playing like tennis professionally? Do you think his body can like withstand that after playing football or not?
Hell no, nah, bro. This nigga can't move like that, bro. After those
y'all boys on
years
that
of getting just brutalized on the field,
niggas' knees would be shot.
Man, what?
Last thing he's trying to do is doing all that lateral movement.
Hell,
not because you see these fucking like Steph, right? Steph out here.
He's golfing.
Steph out here. Yeah, he's golfing. Like he's two sports.
Ain't tennis,
dog.
Golfing ain't tennis.
Golfing ain't tennis, bro.
Tell that to Tiger Woods.
Hey, come on.
Oh,
come
not,
on.
Not,
come
not,
on.
Oh, well, no. Hey, fool. No, I was talking about all the surgeries he's been through and all that shit playing golf.
Okay. Look at the pull up. Look at the pull up.
I knew it. You can tell when that nigga is being violent.
Right. Nah,
no. That was an innocent moment.
Nah, but hey, we're going to get into that.
That nigga. I wasn't even thinking about that, though.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. But yeah, and then on the men's side, let me see, who won? Was it Djokovic?
Yeah, Djokovic.
The greatest, I'm telling you, it's gonna go down. You said Dell said, oh, when is he beating Wimbledon? The niggas won four finals against this nigga at Wimbledon. He hasn't beaten the doll like that, I'll give you that. But I feel like, listen, there will be a time and a place for that shit, and he'll end that once and for all. But until then, he's gonna accumulate these fucking championships like none other.
Do you watch tennis or you know you just
I actually do, bro. Only because it wasn't like golf was to me at first. I watched golf now, but I used to hate that shit when I was younger. I never really had a chance to hate tennis because my grandmother watched that shit religiously. So it's like I just be in that shit watching it with her, and then she used to watch the men and the women, the doubles, the singles. She, like if it was tennis and it's on, she was watching that shit. So from there, I kind of got it left. She even put me in Earl and tennis camp one year, That shit was crazy, but.
Yep. Like, yeah, yeah. Nah, tennis is a big thing
golf
in our
fire,
house.
Bro. Yeah, it is. I started playing it out. That's when I started watching it more.
I feel it.
I started going out to the range, bro. That's it's
fun. Yeah, because it made me realize how difficult it is. You got to think these niggas are trying to put
a small-ass
ball in the side, into a hole the size of a cup from 400 yards away. 4 football fields away, they only get, on average, 4 or 5, you know what I'm saying, attempts to do it. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah,
and all the techniques that goes into swinging,
bro. Like I didn't know how technical that shit was, bro.
Bro, same, bro. Until I had like an instructor like walk me through it out there, and I was like, wow. Like if you normally grip it and just get pause and give someone a golf club. yeah. I had to pause that one. Wow. Niggas not gonna tell you it naturally curves to the right. Wow, pause again. You know what? Let's just switch this topic. We're done. Yeah, I can't even. We can't even talk about this one. Yeah, it's way too flagrant, bro. So that was egregious.
Yeah, put him on Jack. Not even 2 sentences later, bro.
Yo, I couldn't even.
The nigga couldn't even say pause. He just said, we're done. Hey, bro, that shit was funny.
Degree of difficulty involved with the outfit is crazy, though.
Oh, yeah, that shit is tremendous.
That is wild, bro.
Anyways, man.
It's like, hey, man.
Hey, what would y'all say is the most difficult? It's the most difficult, like, as far as like skill to in order to win the game.
Team sport or individual?
I would say individual because it's a difference between team sports. So.
Individual,
right? You got to consider swimming, track. I'm talking all individual sports. What would you say is the hardest?
Hey, golf up there, dog.
Yeah, golf
definitely up there, bro.
And because the terrain changes from every course,
yeah. Oh,
but it's not even. Hold on, but it's not even the terrain. It's like think of the weather conditions too. How the wind
and then
is,
the
like,
weather. That's another thing that you gotta involve in that, bro. And you get all that, and then some of these guys, it's like, bro, you got to calculate the hill that it's going, bro, like, and then the wind.
And there's something to how what it does to your body standing that much, right? Like, because it's one thing to move around, like you play basketball and shit like that, but staying in relatively one spot for your profession, that is insane, G. Like, that's
probably why Tiger Woods worked out so hard. You know what I'm saying? He was known for really transforming how golfers worked out just because people seen him in the weight room like, yo, he's grinding. You know what I'm saying? It's like you said,
they used to train with Navy Seals.
Oh, pause.
Nah, but I mean, but no, he used to train with Jordan and all them, like.
Yeah, because it's a different, you're training to stand. You know what I'm saying? You're training to literally stand there and have the strength to not get injured from not doing anything. So that's crazy. You have to work out to not do something. That's
why. Actually, hold on. So I will say golf, but also tennis because of the cardio that you gotta have, bro.
But if you're talking cardio, bro, I would say swimming is soccer, crazy, bro.
I would say
soccer's a team sport. We said individual sports.
Yeah. I'm gonna probably go tennis. I'll probably go tennis because the hand-eye coordination you need of a pitcher in baseball or better, and the lateral movement of you know, insert whatever sport here, like that shit is just different. And on top of that, the awareness.
Now you need that hand-eye for golfing too.
No, you do. But I'm saying all this literally in one motion. Like you have to know where your opponent is hitting the ball and be able to get there fat and like that quick. Like, bro, you gotta have jets in that motherfucker.
And on top of that, you gotta be able to hit back the ball coming at you at almost 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you gotta predict where this man is gonna, you know, where I can place the ball where he can't get it.
Yeah, man.
You know,
that shit is crazy.
Where, you know, he's not gonna kill me. You know, where he had the advantage.
Yeah, so I think it's between golf or tennis.
I'll go with tennis.
I'll go tennis.
Because you got to play somebody. Yeah. Like golf, no matter what, like if I'm a bad man in golf, I'll handle my business. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, you're not playing against. Because golf is the best individual performance.
Yeah.
Wow, you got to compete against somebody.
Yeah.
You're against somebody different, man.
Yeah. I agree with that as well. I rock with tennis.
No, yeah. we do need more black and Spanish people playing tennis because
it's definitely ruled by Europeans. That's no that's
yeah,
no
like y'all, yeah. There's a lot of money in it, bro. Like they could become something, you know, not just
golf too, bro. Paper and golf,
a lot of golf,
paper
and
golf too,
bro.
You know what I blame that on for real? In a lot of ways, especially when you look at guys like Andre Agassi, they vilified the American tennis player so much during that time. Because, I mean, shit, even for Arthur Ashe, shit wasn't sweet about as far as, just the way that they projected him. Because he was a black man and an American playing men's tennis. And then even if you look at who else? I want to say Rod Laver. No, Rod Laver's Australian. Who else? Pete Sampras, yeah. I mean, there's not that many notable guys where we came up with Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, all type of.
Yeah, but none of them niggas American.
No, I'm saying that's my point. Like
Andy Roddick.
Andy Roddick, you're right. And Andy Murray's from what, Australia, right?
Yeah, from Great Britain.
Great Britain. But yeah, it's just so many. Like, think about that. We could find literally two names in our lifetime between Agassi and Roddick that were like those guys. And
Sampras
really hard?
For black players, James Blake was decent. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't great. James Blake was decent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know, man. I mean, maybe we just get tennis. I don't know, man.
Hey, put some respect on Pete Sampras' name, Earl.
No, I'm saying, but when did
Pete Sampras was the GOAT before Federer?
I get it, but when did he play?
Sampras was like 90. He played against Agassi early 2000s. Like it was probably starting in like the 80s.
So Pete Sampras and Andre Agassi.
Okay.
Didn't he retire like in 05 or something?
Curly hair.
Had like a little afro type shit.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't quite coily, but you know,
He didn't have that quite.
Somewhere down the line, somebody was.
Fairly. He started in 88 and retired in 02.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. So
hey, they said serve like Sampras.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yes, sir.
That's fair. They
like Beckham.
Yeah, but even soccer, we don't have a lot of American stars either. You know what I'm saying? So
Freddie Adu dropped the ball.
Freddie Adu blew it.
He did.
Freddie blew it.
You know, one day we'll talk some ideas offline. But I think there's some interesting things we can do this summer when things kind of slow down. But either way. Yeah, man, let's talk about Tiger for a little bit, and I guess we'll get out of here. I don't really have much on it. I just want to say
he wasn't drunk. They confirmed that. There was no intoxication.
There's no charges. No,
it just looks like
he was probably tired, keeping 100.
No. What happened was, Nard, he was going down this hill with a curve in it. And they say that's a real dangerous spot in Los Angeles where a lot of people get into accidents because he was going downhill and it has a curve at the end of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
They say he must have just spun out and lost control because I was listening to Gene Wojciechowski talk about it. He said he drove the same place where Tiger Woods got an accident and the speed limit's 45, so he going 45, he coming downhill, he hitting the brakes, he's looking at his odometer, he's going 60 with his foot on the brake.
Yeah.
So, and with a curve right after that hill,
mm-hmm.
that's something, you know, that's easy way to get messed up.
Do y'all think he gonna, you think he'll ever play again, or do you think this is up for it?
Well, I don't know the severity yet. Like, we hear multiple leg surgeries was needed, but like, they're not really telling us.
I heard they put they had to put a rod in his leg.
Oh, sheesh.
Yeah, they put one in his leg and his ankle.
And his ankle too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to call it quits, but I mean.
I mean, you're the greatest. I don't give a fuck who's won more. You're clearly dominant.
To look at things from the bright side. At least this happened now and not in his prime.
Right.
Yeah.
He was in the back half.
And he did get to come back in 2019 and win.
And won the Masters.
He did get that jacket.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, shit, man.
No one thought he would get another jacket. He got one.
Yeah, that was purely double middle fingers to the haters.
He can still, I mean, granted, I personally think, the writing's on the wall. I think this is the icing on the cake for him.
But I'm with you, Mike, because you was about to say he can still fucking do it. But until that nigga retired, I believe in Tiger.
Yeah, bro, I'm not betting.
Considering golf is a sport where Father Time comes at you later.
Later. Yes, sir.
And Tiger, what, 44, 45?
Yes, 45. Sir.
45 years old, bro. Which means he can play for another 15 years.
He but I mean, if I could put a
little... Bro, he'll be competitive for at least the next 8 to 9, like real out competitive.
Right.
If any of y'all watch the doc, I don't know if any of y'all saw the Tiger Woods documentary.
Not yet, but I heard it was good.
I did.
It's really good. And when you think about the fact that he was 2 years old on the Johnny Carson show. That's a long time to be playing golf for anybody. I mean,
very true.
If anybody, I'm with you, Nard and Mike. I'm betting with Tiger. I don't know, man. That back on top of the legs, man, that's literally what holds you up.
Yep.
And that's where you get all your torque from in order to hit the ball. So.
Mm-hmm. That shit just, if anybody, I'm betting on Tiger, but shit, man.
Yeah. I mean, as long as he's still able to walk and play, because I know now that he's mentoring and teaching his son, I just don't want him to lose that.
Right.
Did y'all said y'all saw the documentary?
No, Dan said he saw it.
I saw it.
If more of y'all see it, we should definitely talk about that on air.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it one day.
It's a really.
What's it on?
Really, it's on what is
HBO.
It? HBO Max. Yeah.
HBO. Okay, bet.
But it's a really good doc. But I ain't gonna lie, I ain't gonna get too much in it. But like the shit started great, and then they play with my man.
Of course,
I see why he.
I see why he got in trouble. I see what really got his ass in
trouble. Oh, I definitely see what got in trouble. Got him in trouble.
Hey, me and you right here.
Hey, listen, bro. We'll talk about it later. But yeah, man. Prayers up for Tiger Woods, man. Get well soon.
Definitely.
Thanks.
Yeah. Sure, yes, sir. Man. Yeah, man. And, just thank God that injuries is all it was.
Facts.
That's another huge one.
But man, I'm also.
I got scared when it was in revealing like the injuries and how severe it was.
It was calm about it for a minute, right? It was like, oh shit, what actually happened? Like they didn't say shit for a minute.
Then the jaws of life, they said how they extract them from the vehicle. Yeah. So that part started to scare me. I was like, bro, But yeah, thank God. He's good, and it's just his leg, and nothing life threatening.
Man, when you think about it, our time, our era, our lifetime, like, we have gotten to see some of the greatest athletes ever. Like, we have gotten blessed with some of the greatest...
We spoiled.
Yeah, man. Like, some of the greatest physical human beings to walk the earth. Like, we've seen it in real time.
We've seen Moss, T.O., Megatron, Brady, Peyton, Michael, Bron, Curry, Zion. We've seen... The talents of the talent,
Serena,
bro. Like, all the
Serena's,
jeez, man. Like, we've
seen all that, bro.
Like, bro, just it is insane what sports has become, man.
Yeah.
Shoot, man. Well, looks like everything we got here is all wrapped up, fellas. So,
yes, sir.
Appreciate y'all tuning in with us, and we'll see y'all next week.
Yeah.
Peace.